Tonight's shiur is on the making of the menorah, and it's applicable to this week's parsha, Vayakel Pekudei. This week's parsha, a large portion of it, is dedicated to the kelim of the mikdash. Of course, one kli in particular that we're going to deal with tonight is the menorah. Just before we begin the shiur, the style of shiur tonight is going to be a little bit different than normal, because there are a lot of questions that emerge from the menorah, from ideas in the menorah. So we're just going to keep building and building on the questions. And at the end of the shiur, we're going to give the core concept, and then we're going to try to explain all the ideas from that core concept. So it's a little bit different. So the questions should all lead you each to an idea in your mind, but just hold it in until the very end. And then at the end, you could just, break open the whole concept if you want. Deal? Okay. The first pasuk, the very basic pasuk in this week's parsha, is source number one. The pasuk says, "Vayas es haMenorah." The menorah was made, zahav tahor, out of pure gold, miksha, and it was made from a big block of gold. Asas haMenorah yirecha v'kana givieha kaftara ufracha mimena hayu. Basic explanation of the pasuk. The translation is that the menorah was made. It was made from pure gold. It was made out of a big block of gold and chiseled out. And there are different components of the menorah. So for those of us who are visual learners, I put in a beautiful illustration from the book called Mishkan Hashem. And the illustration, instead of going through all the details of the psukim coming after this, I figure, why not just look at the illustration and get a general idea of what the menorah looked like. One idea in the pasuk is yarecha. So what was the yarech? The yarech was the base of the menorah. So if you look at the diagram on the left, that bottom platform of the menorah is called the yarecha in the pasuk. And then you have the kanim. The kanim were the branches of the menorah. You had the middle branch, and then you had three branches come off each side. Givieha kaftareh ufracheha. So those are the ornaments of the menorah. And if you look on the right side of the diagram, you have the gevia, which looks like a little kiddush cup. That's how I would describe it. Then you have the kaftor, which was a ball. It looks like an egg a little bit. These are all made out of gold, pure gold. Perach was obviously a flower. So this is the basic diagram of the menorah. You see how it looks. If you go to by the kotel, on the steps of the kotel, they have a replication of this menorah. It's not so important as to where the gevia, the kaftor, the perach goes in terms of this shiur, just have a knowledge, a working knowledge of what it looked like. And of course, on the left side of the diagram, you have the size of the menorah. So if you look, the menorah is broken down into smaller components, and the total height of the menorah was 18 tefachim high. Okay?
Where's the kaftor at? Is that right here in the middle?
Yeah, the kaftor, there are three, you see the three? And then after the gevias, there's three of them, there's a kaftor, and then there's a parach on top of it. So these ornaments adorned the menorah, and we're going to discuss them. We're going to discuss their role in the menorah. But we're going to break down this pasuk into the more basic components. So the first component is Vayas es haMenorah. The menorah was made. Seems like a simple concept, but the chazals, they actually differ, and they have a different idea of what that means. We're going to go back to Parshas Truma, because this week's Parsha Vayakel is talks about the making of the menorah, and so does Parshas Truma. So a lot of the ideas exist in both Parshios. So we're going to go back and forth between Parshas Vayakel and Parshas Truma. So Miriam is going to read source number two, which is from Parshas Truma, on the making of the menorah.
Or
Avase. I should put in the nekudos. It's not fair to you. Or Avase. It's a hard pasuk.
Okay.
B'tavnisam,
asher ata marabahem.
Marabahar. So look and see, look and make in the form that you see on the mountain. This pasuk was addressed to Moshe in the psukim when he was on Har Sinai. What does this mean? So, and why is this relevant? Let's look at Rashi. Rashi is number three, source number three. Alana, can you read Rashi?
Re'ekan bahar tavni shani mar'eh otcha. Magid shenit kasha Moshe b'maaseh haMenorah ad sheher alo hakadosh baruch hu menorah shel ish.
Okay, so what does it mean, or Eva say, that you should look and you should make in the form? Rashi explains that Moshe had difficulty. He was niskasha, which means like kasha, it was hard for him. he had difficulty envisioning the menorah, and Hashem, he showed him, he had to show him a vision of the menorah in the form of fire. That's what Rashi says. Okay, what are the questions that we can ask on this Rashi before we move forward and ask a stronger question? What are the two questions that would emerge from this Rashi?
Why was it hard for him?
Okay, Ilana asked the first question. Why was it hard for him to envision the menorah? We don't have this concept by other Kalim. It never says in the Chazal that Moshe had trouble envisioning what the Aron looked like or what the Shulchan looked like. But for some reason, the Chazal, they point out that Moshe had difficulty envisioning what the menorah looked like. So why specifically was it so hard to envision what the menorah looked like? And another question. What's another question?
Why fire?
Why fire? Good. So Miriam asked the second question. Why does Hashem show him a vision of the menorah in fire? What is the value of using fire to show him that? He could have just showed him, if he's showing him images, and obviously we're dealing with a kind of a Nevuah situation. If he's showing him images, he should show him a gold menorah. Show him the exact replica of what the menorah is really supposed to look like. Why is he showing the menorah in the form of fire? Now we're going to get to another pasuk, which even strengthens this question even further. It's a really strange chazal on this pasuk. If you look at number 4, Racheli, can you read number 4?
Sure. Shemot perakapay. Vasita menorah tzahav tahor mikshe taseh menorah. Racha v'kaneg v'kaneg.
So the pasuk seems to be a replica of the first pasuk that we read. Rashi, however, he notes an interesting chazal based on this pasuk. It says te'ase in the pasuk, and it has an extra yud. Even though the chumash that and the pasuk quoted doesn't have an extra yud, there is an extra yud. If you look at Rashi number 5, he says te'ase ha-menorah me'eleha. It was made by itself. Lefi shehaya Moshe miskasha ba. Moshe was having difficulty envisioning the menorah, what it looked like. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Hashem said to him, Hashleicha sakikar lo'or. So pull throw the kikar, throw the golden block into the fire. Vihi nasis me'ele, and it will be made on its own. Lechach lo nichtav te'ase. That's why it doesn't say, it's not written te'ase without a yud. So Rashi is pointing out a chazal where the extra yud in te'aseh implies that the menorah was made on its own. What does that mean? It means that Moshe, he took the block of gold because he had such trouble envisioning how to make it that he threw it into the fire and poof, it came out on its own. What's troublesome about this?
Those are contradictory.
Contradictory, good. What does it contradict?
Before we said he showed him with fire.
Good.
Saying it just formed it by itself.
Good. So before, in the Rashi before, it says that Hashem showed Moshe in the form of fire what the menorah was supposed to look like, which implies that afterwards it was made. And also, look at the pshat of the pasuk in the first source. It says, Vayasas ha-menorah, the menorah was made. And there's no difference in terms of how the menorah is described in the other kalim in the Parsha, in terms of how it was made. So it seems to be a direct contradiction. Was it made by itself, or did Bezalel make it? What exactly is going on here, right?
Is there two different parshiyot?
Yeah, we're going from Truma and Vayakel. The last two psukim were quoted from Truma, and our first pasuk was Vayakel, the actual building of the menorah. But it's, as Alana said, it's a contradiction. It's a major contradiction. Because our pasuk in our parsha, Vayakel, says that the menorah was made, and we're going to see later on, it uses the same exact lashon as every other kli. It was built, it was constructed. But in the Rashi's on Truma, they seem to imply, A, that Moshe had difficulty, and B, it was made on its own. So which one was it? Was it made on its own, or was it made by Bezalel? And furthermore, we have the other questions, which is, what's the role of fire, and why exactly was Moshe troubled by the making of the menorah as opposed to any other kli? Okay, so those questions clear?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the Chizkuni, on the next daf, on the next page, is number 6. The Chizkuni, actually, he gives an answer, but the answer leads us to more questions. If we look at the Chizkuni, in number 6, he explains Rashi. He says, Ksiv Mole. So the word Te'asa is written full, meaning there's a Yud in the word. Normally it's not written with a Yud. Lefi Shehaya Moshe Miskasha Ba. Moshe was having difficulty envisioning what the menorah looked like. Umash Niskasha Ba, Hainu Lemidas Govha. So what was he troubled by? He was troubled by its height. Shahare lo nitan mida l'shir gova kimo l'shar klei mishkan. The height of, or the size of the menorah was not given in the Torah. It's never mentioned in the menorah, what the size of the menorah is in the actual psukim. Therefore, he's explaining what Moshe was troubled by. He was troubled by the size of the menorah. Okay. So, Ilan is asking about the diagram. What the diagram is showing it is after the fact, Chazal, they learn out the shear from the ornaments, the size of the ornaments, but it never says in the psukim the menorah is this or this size. Apparently, Moshe was troubled by that. But, of course, the Chizkuni is not 100% clear. Why not? Why isn't the Chizkuni 100% clear? Because, according to this Medrash, why doesn't Hashem just tell Moshe what the height is? Why does he have to show him a menorah made out of fire? So the Chizkuni is good in terms of explaining one detail as to why Moshe had difficulty understanding what the menorah was supposed to look like, but still, just tell him what the shear of the menorah is. Just tell him it's 18 tefachim high, and then he'll figure it out. Furthermore, the Chizkuni is pointing out an interesting point, which is that the menorah is the only kli whose shear isn't mentioned in the Torah. So why is the menorah the only kli in the Torah whose shear isn't mentioned? Isn't that strange? Let's read the psukim inside. Miriam's going to read number 7. All the other kalim, let's read through them one by one.
Vayat betal at haron at seishitim amisim
amasayim
v'chetzi arachu ama
v'amav v'chetzi kamzo. By the aron, it says that the aron was made out of wood, and it gives its shear. Amasayim v'chetzi arko. Its length was 2.5. And its width was 1.5 amas, and the height was 1.5 amas. Go on.
Bayask Kavora Zahav Tahar Amatayim Bechetzi Archa Ba Ama Bechetzi Rachva.
The Kapores, which was the covering of the Aron, once again, the shear of the Kapores is mentioned. It says that it was 2.5 by length, and it was 1.5 by width. Go on. Okay, so the Shulchan was made out of wood again, and it gives its shear. It says Amasayim Arko, that it was 2 in length, the Amar Rachbo, the Amar Vachetzi Komasa. Okay, just read through the other two. You get the point, though, I'm trying to make, yeah. Correct? Let's just read through the Psukim, just to... Don't trust me. You know, don't take my word for it. So let's read through the psukim.
Bayas etz mizbeach ketoret etz eshutim. Ama arachu, ama rachu.
Ravua.
Ravua v'amatayim kamsu. Mimenu hayu karnasav. Bayas etz mizbeach ha'ila.
Ha'ola.
Ha'ola. Etz eshutim. Chamish amot arachu. Chamish amot rachu. Rova v'shalosh amot.
Okay, so the point is that in every other kli in the mikdash, the shear is laid out for you at the when it's made. It says vayas, and then it tells you exactly what the dimensions were of the kli. But by the menorah, it never says in the psukim at all what the shear of the menorah was. The chazal, the rabbanim, after the fact, they learn out what the shear is from the size of each ornament, but it's never stated outright in the psukim. So it's an obvious question, I think. Why is the menorah unique in that sense? In what sense, or for what reason, was the shear left out by the menorah and included by every other kli? So let me just rephrase the questions that we have so that we don't lose track of. And if you guys are forming ideas in your minds, that's good also, but just to keep them in. So the first question is, the making of the menorah seems to be unique because in our pasuk, in this week's parsha, it says that it was made just like every other kli. But if you look in Truma, where it's mentioned, menorah is mentioned as well, it sounds like from the Chazal that it was made by itself, because Moshe threw the block of gold into the fire, which is a contradiction. And furthermore, they seem to indicate that Moshe had trouble with the menorah. And the question is, what was his trouble with the menorah? Why couldn't he envision the menorah? Then we moved on, naturally, to the Chizkuni, and he tries to give an explanation. And he says that Moshe was troubled by the shear, the size of the menorah. But of course, we ask the question on the Chizkuni, which is, first of all, if that's the case, if Moshe was simply troubled by what the size was, so then Hashem should just tell Moshe, oh, the menorah is 18 tefachim high, and then Moshe should build it after that. And furthermore, the last question that we asked was, why is the menorah the only kli in the whole mikdash where the shear isn't mentioned? The shear seems to not be that important. The shear is only told after the fact. So hopefully the ideas are percolating in your heads, but yeah? Racheli looks like she has an approach. Okay. The next idea in the pasuk that we're analyzing is the first idea was Vayasis HaMenorah, and then if you look at source number one, it says Miksha. What exactly is Miksha? So Ilana, I think we're up to Ilana. Ilana is going to read number 8, which is just the Rashi, which just explains what Miksha is. It's a Rashi on Truma, but it's the same concept. It's the exact same concept.
Miksha ta'asa menorah, shelo yasana cholayot, velo yasa kana avnerotea ivarim ivarim, ve'achar kach yad became kederach hatzorfin, shekorin shoulder, b'ma. Ela kula ba mechaticha achat, umakish bekornas, v'chotech bechli ha'omanot, umafrid hakanim elach ve'elach.
Okay, explain.
So that it shouldn't be that you take that each of the branches is like a separate, like a limb that you then attach to the middle, but that they should all come out of the middle, like from one piece.
Okay, so it was sculpted. It was chiseled, right? The menorah was chiseled. There's only one other kli, which was miksha. Which one is it? Anybody know what kli was also miksha? The kruvim from the kapores. The kapores was the only other kli in the mikdash, which was made out of a pure block of gold. But the menorah is really unique. Every other kli was constructed from wood, and you took wood boards and you overlaid them with gold, and then you attached them together. For example, the aron. The aron was a series of boxes, and the boxes were made primarily out of wood, and then they were overlain with gold. And similarly, the shulchan was made with wood and overlain with gold. All the kalim are like that. But the menorah had to be made out of pure gold and had to be chiseled. So this is a basic philosophy question. Why is that so? What is unique about the menorah that it demanded miksha? Because every other kli could just be built in a normal way. You could break it down into parts. You could take wood and just put it together. But this kli, in specific, the menorah, for some reason, had to be made out of a solid block of gold. So it's another uniqueness to the menorah in terms of its making and how it was made that we should focus on and that we should keep in the back of our minds. Okay? I see everybody's trying to work out the concept. All right. Racheli's going to read this next idea. So the next concept in the pasuk that we were analyzing is, first we analyzed how it was made, then we analyzed the idea of miksha, and then at the end of the pasuk, it mentions all the different components of the menorah. We have the base of the menorah, we have the branches of the menorah, we have the kiddush cups of the menorah, we have the ball of the menorah, the kaftor, and we have the prachim, we have the flowers. So this is a halacha brought down in the Rambam, and it's just a basic halacha, it's not the Rambam shita, but the Rambam illustrates sometimes the Gemara in a clear way. So let's just do the Rambam inside. It's two halachos, actually. It's Gimel and Dalet. Racheli is going to read source number 9 on the sheets.
Nimzit kol hagvi'im shnaim resrim, prachim tisha, ve'hakavtorim echa asar, kulam me'akvim zed zeh, ve'afilu chaser echad min ashnaim, barba'im me'akim ve'kulam.
Okay, translate.
So you find that the gvi'im, those little cups, right?
Yeah.
Were 22.
Yeah.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Obviously, but
you trust the Rama.
Really? And the flowers were 9.
Yeah.
And the kaftorim, those little egg things.
Ball, yeah.
The balls were 11. but they were me'akiv one another. So if one was missing, then the whole thing would be like ruined or discounted.
Okay, so Racheli's pointing out that there are 42 total ornaments of the kaftorim, the gvim, and the prachim, and the Rambam from the Gemara is showing you that if any one of those is missing, it's ma'akev. The whole menorah is pasul. It's a funny thing. Why is that the case? we're giving a philosophy shiur here, so we can ask the why questions. So how does that fit into the theme or the idea of the menorah, that if one of them is missing, so the menorah is no good? I would think that if it's missing one, it should still be good. Why not? Why is it that if one is missing, the whole menorah is puzzle? It's no good. Okay, you hear the question? Basic question. Let's go on to the next halacha in the Rambam. This is a very strange halacha. So if you look at the next halacha in the Rambam, he says, "Bamed dvar mamurim." So when is it that each ornament is ma'akev? If you're missing one, the menorah is puzzle. Bisha asuha zahav. When you make it out of gold. Aval shar mine matachos, ein osin ba gevim kaftorim uprachim. But if you make it out of other metals, you don't make it with the ornaments. You don't make it with the kiddush cups. You don't make it with the little balls, the kaftorim, and you don't make it with the flowers. What does this mean? So the halacha is that if you didn't have enough money, if Klal Yisrael didn't have enough money to build a menorah and they didn't have enough gold, they could still make a menorah out of other metals. But the Rambam is saying, based on the Gemara, that if you made a menorah out of other metals, it could not have any of the ornaments on it. So it would have to be plain. So why not? Why couldn't you add the ornaments? Just make it like the menorah that was made out of Zahav and add ornaments, add the prachim, add the kaftorim, add the gvim. Why is it that if it's either or, all or nothing, basically? If you're going to make it out of gold, then it has to be kaftorim, prachim, and gvim. But if not, if you make it out of regular metal, then it has to be plain. You can't make it with any of the ornaments. So go. I'm going to read on. So he says, he continues, and he says, I just lost the place. A menorah that is made out of gold has to be equal to one talent of gold, which is a shear in the weight of the gold, with its neros, with the candles. It doesn't mean the candles themselves, but the candle holders. And it has to be made out of a pure gold piece, if it's made out of gold. But if it's made out of other metals, we don't care what the weight of the metal is. Vim aisa chalula kshera. And if it's chalula, even if it's hollow inside, it's kosher. Another aspect that we see in terms of the difference between a menorah shalzav, a menorah made out of gold, and a menorah made out of other metals, is that the menorah made out of gold has to be a specific weight of gold. It has to be exactly one kikar, which is one, we'll call it a talent of gold. I'm not going to go through all the calculations as to what a talent means. But if you made the menorah out of another material, let's say you made it out of aluminum or you made it out of platinum, then it doesn't matter what the shear is or what the weight is. It could be any weight. It doesn't have to be exactly one kikar. That's another funny idea. Why is it an all or nothing? We see the same concept in the Rambam based on the Gemara. It seems to be an all or nothing idea. If you have the zav, the menorah zav, then great. Then you do everything like the Torah says. But if not, then you can't have any of the ornaments, and we don't care what the weight is. What's going on here? Why is there such a stark difference between a menorah made out of zav and a menorah made out of other metals? So I'm just going to go through the questions. Sorry. Go through the questions just to keep them in mind. So we have the question on Vayasas HaMenorah, how it was made. Was it made by itself, or was it constructed? And why was it Moshe having trouble with it? And what's the idea of the fire? Then we have the idea of that the menorah is the only kli in the Torah where the shear isn't given. The shear is not provided to us by the Torah. Then we have another idea, which is that the menorah had to be made out of pure gold. And no other kli was made in that fashion. Every other kli was made through a construction of many parts. But the menorah is unique. And we just did the halacha about how each ornament is ma'akev. If you're missing one out of the 42 of any of the ornaments, the whole menorah is puzzle. But for some reason, that's only by a menorah shalzav. That's only by a menorah which is made out of pure gold. A menorah made out of pure gold has to be that you have all the ornaments, and it has to be made out of miksha, and it has to be made with a perfect weight. But however, if you make it out of sharmine matachos, aluminum or platinum, then you're not allowed to have any of the ornaments, and we don't care what the shear of the weight is, nor do we care if it's hollow or if it's solid. So we ask the question, why is there such a stark difference? Okay? These are all leading to one main idea, one main concept, which we're going to get to. But we have to do one more concept, one more pasuk, and this Ramban here. Don't cheat ahead. Okay, so Miriam is going to read number 10. It's from our parsha, from Vayakel. It comes after all the psukim about the menorah and what the ornaments were. And we skipped through that because I just provided you with a diagram. Now we're going to read number 10. It's a small pasuk. Go ahead.
Keleha.
The menorah was made of one talent of pure gold, and so too the kelim, the utensils used in the menorah. There are various utensils that were used to clean out the menorah, and that's what the pasuk is referring to. But we're going to see the Ramban, he brings in the Gemara, and this is the last point that we're going to make before we give the answer, the big answer. So look at the Ramban in number 11. Alana's going to read the Ramban.
Aval ein da rabotino kimo shamar harav, ela kach shanu chachamim b'minchot, minarav nirotah ba'a mikikar, velo melkacheha u'machtotaha, u'ma'ani mekayim ekol hakelim ha'ila.
Okay, so the Ramban is explaining the last part of the pasuk. So it says, "Ve'es kol keleha," and so too all the kelim of the menorah have to be made out of one talent of pure gold. The Ramban saying that the Gemara says that that doesn't mean that the actual kelim have to be made out of pure gold that is equal to one talent. Rather, the neros, the part of the menorah on the top of each branch which held the wicks and held the fire, that had to be part of the menorah. Part of the construction of the menorah. Go on.
Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Nachamya Omer, menorah ba'a mikikar v'lo nirotah u'malkachah u'machtotah.
Okay, so that's one shita. Rabbi Yehuda holds that the purpose of Eis Kol Keleha is to teach you that the neros, the top part of the menorah which held the wicks, also had to be made out of pure gold. But Rabbi Nachamya argues. He says that the menorah alone had to be made out of one talent of gold, but the neros, meaning the top part of the kanim that held the wick, and all the kalim associated with it did not have to be made out of gold that was equal to one talent in terms of its weight. So what do you do with the last part of the pasuk? Eis kol ha-kelim ha-eleh? It's coming to teach you that every kli of the menorah had to be made out of zav, had to be made out of gold. It's not telling you the exact shear of gold, but just that it had to be made out of gold. So we have a machlokes in the Gemara. Were the neros, the bowls at the top of the menorah, which held the wicks, did they have to be made out of one talent of gold and be miksha like the rest of the menorah, or was it in addition to the menorah? Meaning you made the menorah and then you added on the neros. The neros didn't have to be made with the menorah. Go on. Okay, so Rabbi Yehuda holds that the neros were miksha ima. They were chiseled out with the rest of the menorah. They weren't separate. So that's how you learn the pasuk. The eis kol keleha means that the neros, the part that held the shemen, was also a kli. It was called a kli because it's somewhat separate from the menorah, but it had to be constructed with the menorah. It had to be chiseled out with the rest of the menorah. Shame b'fnei atzman. They have their own identity. The neros have their own identity, but they have to be made with the menorah itself. But by most menorahs outside of the mikdash, you usually make the menorah and then you add the, like we have it on Hanukkah. You add the glass, for example, you add the glass with the shemen inside of it to the top of the menorah. It's not part of the menorah. Go on. Okay, according to Rabbi Nechemya, he says that the neros were not miksha. They were not made with the rest of the menorah. They were rather added on. Okay, so explain. You want to explain?
Okay, so according to Rabbi Yehuda, in like the weight of the whole block, it's only the actual the guf, like the body of the menorah, not including all the ornaments.
Good. No, the kalim that were used to clean it out. So the menorah itself was made out of one talent of pure gold, but not the kalim. Go on. That's Rabbi Yehuda Shita. Okay, and according to Rabbi Nechemiah, so how do you learn at the end of the pasuk? It's teaching you that all the kalim of the menorah have to be made out of gold. It's not telling you that the neros have to be included in the structure of the menorah. So we have a basic machlokes here.
Wait, sorry, what's kalim referring to?
So that's the machlokes. Oh. One shita is saying the kalim is referring to the neros, and it's teaching you that the neros are included in the construction of a menorah. Meaning, when you chiseled out of the block of gold, you also have to chisel out the bowl at the top of the menorah to hold the shemen. Whereas the other shita holds that the kalim are actually referring to the kalim that were used to clean out the menorah, and what it means. The Kikar Zav Tahor also Osa is just the menorah itself without the Neros, without the kalim that held the Shemen. So the last question that we're going to ask is, what's the basis for this machloka? So you have two shitas. You have the shita of Rabbi Yehuda, which held that the Neros were included in the construction of the menorah. And then you have the shita of Rabbi Nechemiah, who held that the Neros, the bull that held the shemen, was not included in the structure in the chiseling out of the menorah. Rather, it was added. It was an added part or an added component. So, what is that machlokes? What are they arguing about in terms of conceptually? What's it based on? I think we have all the facts possible to try to identify a key concept as to what or how you would define the menorah essentially. But one more time, I've got to go through the questions and then. You guys can give it a shot if you want. Questions are, number one, there's a contradiction in terms of how the menorah was made. Was it made on its own, or was it made or constructed by Bezalel? Why was Moshe troubled by its construction? And furthermore, why was it shown to Moshe in the form of fire? Then we have the idea that the menorah, the shear of the menorah, isn't mentioned in the Torah, but it's rather derived after the fact from the ornaments. We have the idea that it's miksha, that it had to be beaten out of pure gold. We have the idea that any ornament by a zav menorah would be ma'akev, it would make it pasul. But if you make it out of shar matachos, other metals, for some reason you can't have any ornament. So why not? You should think that you should construct it as a replica of the menorah zav. Then you have this last concept. You have this machlokes in the Gemara. The machlokes is, were the neros, those parts of the menorah which held the shemen, were they constructed with the menorah or separate? Were they added on, or were they built or chiseled into the menorah itself? So those are all the unique factors in the menorah. So now we have to get to the main idea of the menorah. Does anybody want to try to answer one of those questions? Or do you have an approach or some idea in your mind? Maybe we can use it. Anybody? How about Debbie Ginsburg on the phone lines?
I was just thinking about its role in the Beit HaMikdash, thinking about why it's unique that it would cause all of these things to be different.
Okay, so what do you think?
That's what I'm still working out before I give over an idea.
Oh, okay.
It clearly represents...
Excuse me? Yeah? You can speak, don't worry.
Thing represents something, clearly.
What does it represent?
I'm thinking about it also.
All right. Okay. I have a great quote for tonight's shiur. It's from Einstein. So I'm thinking, should I do the Ibn Ezra first or Einstein's quote? I think we'll go with the Ibn Ezra and then Einstein, I think.
Can you just give us a minute?
What? Oh, you want to think about it? Yeah, no problem. Just try to focus on one question if you can't focus on the whole area.
Right, like I could see how some of the questions in themselves, like really, like the fact of one ornament missing, why the whole thing would be puzzle, like
why is that?
Coming out of one.
Yeah.
Okay. But what's the idea of it? Okay.
I think she said.
Say it again?
Could you repeat what she said?
She's not giving an idea yet. She's just thinking out loud, which is fine. On the phone line, feel free to think out loud if you want.
Okay.
It seems, I don't know, this like
really I was weird. Thinking that if it was missing one of the ornaments, then it would be puzzled because it had to be made out of one block of gold.
Okay, but you could still make it out of one block of gold and be missing one ornament.
How?
What do you mean? You make it and you don't chisel out an extra kaftar.
But then it's not the complete menorah.
Okay, so you're, okay.
The complete menorah would not have been made out of that one piece of gold, and had you added it on afterwards, and then you would say, oh, I have the complete menorah, but you'd still be missing the fact that it wasn't made out of one solid piece of gold.
Okay, okay. But what is, how would you define it, the menorah, in terms of when you saw the menorah, what struck you about the menorah in specific? What strikes you about the menorah?
I think the fact that it's so large.
It's large. Okay. What else? We have all
very
these.
Very tall.
Very tall. Anything else? I mean, you had it's other tall. You have other tall Kalim in the Mikdash. You have a. You have
the
other.
The light.
The light. Okay. What about it was so unique? If you look in the pasuk, it has all these ornaments. What is that? How would you define that or classify that as?
Fancy.
Fancy. Okay, good, good. I like it. No, that's the right approach. Okay? Fancy. It's not just fancy, okay? We're going to...
Expensive.
What?
Expensive.
Expensive. How about just beautiful? Is that good?
Right.
Okay, so one aspect of the menorah, simple concept, is that the menorah was a kli of beauty. There was a beauty to the menorah that, and the ideas of the menorah is that it was meant to, or its purpose was that it should strike a person. Its beauty should strike a person. You don't have all these ornaments by other kalim. You don't have prachim. You don't have flowers on other kalim. And all the other kalim are more functional in terms of teaching you certain ideas about, for example, the aron represents Torah, and the shulchan, the chazal say, is shulchan malachim. They had different purposes, but the key factor, the unique factor to the menorah is that it had a certain beauty that you couldn't compare it to the other kalim in that sense. It was a kli that when you saw it, you were just struck by its beauty. So the Ibn Ezra says,
that's why I can't be missing anything.
Okay, wait. Let's get to, we have to elaborate on that idea. That's not the whole idea. I wasn't just going to say it's beautiful. It's not just beautiful.
You said think out loud.
Oh, okay. All right. Look at the Ibn Ezra.
I think it makes it more beautiful if it's mixta then.
Okay, good.
That you know that somebody actually has to sit there and carve it out of one piece.
Good.
Beautiful.
Good, okay. All right. But before we get to the beauty and that idea, let's just elaborate on the nature of the beauty of the menorah. Look at the Ibn Ezra. So the Ibn Ezra, he's number 12. He explains the Medrash, not fully, but he explains the main concept of the Medrash, the Midrashim, that the menorah was made on its own. So he notices the same question that we had. He says, Uvidrash kinasis me'ele. If you look at the Midrashim, it says that the menorah was made on its own. The Hatam, what is the reason? Shekol ro'eha hayu tamahim. Anybody who saw the menorah was startled, amazed. Eich yachol adam la sosa. How could a man make this? Ki hine kasa vayas menorah. It says in the pasuk that the menorah was made. Kain asas ha menorah. So the menorah was made. Okay, so what's the Ibn Ezra saying? The Ibn Ezra saying that what's the idea of the chazals that say it was made on its own? The idea of it is that it was so beautiful and it was so astounding that when a person saw it, they could not fathom how a man could construct it. It was clear from the menorah that it was the design of God. When you saw it automatically, you saw a design of the creator, of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Typically, when a person goes into a museum and they see a piece of art, they attribute the art to the artist. They say, wow, that's a beautiful Picasso. By the menorah, when you see the menorah, you say, that's a beautiful Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's a beautiful God. Meaning that you saw the menorah, and when you saw the menorah, you couldn't fathom how it could not be the design of Hashem. It had to be the design of Hashem. It could not be the design of the artist who made it, Bezalel, for example. Now I'm going to bring in the quote by Einstein. It's from a New York Times article. And my friend Paul Koppel, I should say, B'Shem Umro, my friend Paul Koppel actually mentioned it last Shabbos, not in this context, but I thought the quote was a great quote. So the quote is Einstein about the difference between Beethoven and Mozart. I'm not a classical music lover. The quote is, Einstein once said that while Beethoven created his music, Mozart's was so pure that it seemed to have been ever-present in the universe, waiting to be discovered by the master. Okay, so he's comparing Beethoven to Mozart. Saying Beethoven, he was a creator, he made nice music. But Mozart, he just took the music that existed in creation, that was created by God, and he brought it out, he brought it to light. So he's comparing, I think what he's saying, what Einstein is saying about Mozart, is similar to the idea that we're saying with regard to the menorah. Why? The menorah was not a man-made, beautiful piece of art, but rather it was an art of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It was an art where if you saw this beautiful kli, you could not fathom that it was created by man. It must have been created by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, everybody agree with that? Okay, so now we can answer some of the questions. So what's the idea of the fire? Remember we said, why was Moshe troubled? What was he troubled by? And what was the idea of showing it to him in fire? Okay? So we just said the idea, I think, of why Moshe was troubled by the menorah. The menorah is the only kli where you have to reflect clearly that it's not man-made and it's made by God. It's designed by God. So that's a hard thing. You have to be completely perfect in its design. There can't be anything off in its design in order to reflect that God is the designer of this thing. If there's anything off in the design, then it could be attributed to man. So the menorah, its design had to be perfect. There couldn't be any problem or any issue in the design of the menorah. So what was the issue that Moshe had? It wasn't a practical issue of how to build it, but the issue was that he needed to make sure that the menorah was so perfect in its construction that it would reflect God no matter what. That it wouldn't reflect on the artist, on the person who's making it, but rather it would reflect on the designer of the kli, of Hashem himself. What do we see about Hashem? How does he appear to the Jews on Har Sinai? In what form does he appear? So look at the Pasuk in Shemos. It says, Umare kvod Hashem ke'esh ocheles v'rosh ahar le'enei b'nei Yisrael. So Hashem appeared to Klal Yisrael as a fire. We also see this idea by the leaders of Klal Yisrael in the desert. We have the Anan, we have the cloud, and you also have the fire at night. So Hashem, his presence is manifested as fire. So maybe the idea, using the Ibn Ezra's idea to explain the basic concept, and the idea of and the idea that fire is how Hashem represents himself, the idea is that Hashem was showing Moshe in this design how Hashem's presence would be manifest in the design of the menorah. Meaning, by showing Moshe through a fire, he was showing him that in this manner, if you make the menorah in this way, it'll be clear and it'll be identifiable that it's my presence and me who designed this thing. So he's showing him the menorah in the form of fire. He's not showing him the menorah in the form of gold. He's showing him in the form of fire because the idea is that the fire itself was representative of Hashem's Shechina, of God's presence. So he's showing him how to make the menorah in a way whereby the menorah clearly reflects on God as a designer. So I think that's the most basic idea. The most basic idea of the menorah is that it was beautiful, but it was so beautiful and astounding that it couldn't be confused with human art. It can only be attributed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But now with that concept, we can answer many of the questions. Okay. So why is it that the shear of the menorah isn't given? Based on this answer, why is it that the shear of the menorah wasn't given in the Torah? And when a person's creating art, isn't the shear of the art secondary to the art itself? The sculptor, for example, when a person sculpts something, they don't think, I want the sculptor to be this size and this dimension. They typically allow their creativity to manifest itself inside of them, and then they construct and they sculpt the art, the piece of the sculptor. So too by the menorah, the idea of the shear not being present in the Torah is expressing to you the nature of the kli. The kli is not just a functional kli, but it was a kli that reflected on a beauty and art. So the idea is that the shear is really secondary to the menorah. It's something that you can derive after the fact. Once you know how big the ornaments are, once you know what it looked like, now you can derive the shear. But the shear is not essential to the kli. It's not an idea, because the idea of shear is an idea in function. It's not an idea in beauty and in art. So the idea is that the menorah clearly reflected this idea, this concept of a beauty of God, and therefore the shear was not reflected or not represented in the Torah itself. Okay? What about miksha? So I think somebody on the phone, I think it was Dina, she said that the idea of miksha is the idea of it not being constructed like a binyan, like a building, but it was constructed like a piece of art. In other words, by all the other kalim, but the kalim were constructed from various pieces. You took wooden pieces and you glued them or you put them together. But by the menorah, because it was beautiful and it was a perfected beauty and it was an art form, it was almost a beautiful piece of art of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, it had to be created as an art form is created. It had to be created through it being chiseled out. It couldn't be constructed like it was a building or a regular kli. It's not a regular kli. Okay? That fits in, right? Correct?
Yeah.
What about the Rambam? So the idea we said about each ornament missing being ma'akev. What does that show you? It shows you that there was a certain perfection in the menorah. The menorah had to be perfect in order to reflect on God's design. So if anything's missing in the menorah, it takes away from that concept. If anything's missing from the menorah, it could lead to the wrong idea. It could lead to a man-made concept. So the idea is that the menorah had to be perfectly constructed. It had to be pure gold. It had to be one kikar. It had to have the perfect amount of ornaments, symmetrical. It had to be beautiful in the most fantastic type of way in order to be clear, in order to clearly reflect on God's design. So the idea is that when the menorah is created out of zahav, then you can have that perfect design. But when it's not created out of zahav, you can't have that beauty. It's just gone. The only beauty that you can have out of a platinum menorah will be the beauty of a man creating it. It's not the design of God. The design of God demands a perfection. It demands gold, it demands a perfect weight of gold, and it demands a perfect amount of ornaments. Anything off from that takes away from the menorah, makes the menorah puzzle. If you use a different menorah, if you use a platinum menorah, you can't have the ornaments. If you have it, it takes away, or that's not the concept of the menorah. That's a man-made construction, not a God-made design. Okay? Answer the questions? Anybody have any questions on those? Yeah.
But still, those somewhat contradiction with Rashi, did he...
No, so that's... Okay. The contradiction with Rashi is that the Medrash isn't a literal Medrash. The Medrash is telling you that whoever saw that it was made by God. That's the idea. That's the idea of that it was made on its own, meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it. He threw it into the fire. No, it's not that's what the Ibn Ezra is saying. It's not a literal Medrash. The idea of the Medrash is that it was as if God had made it himself. When you saw it, you saw the work of God. You didn't see the work of the maker, of the person who chiseled it out. That was the whole concept of the menorah. It had to be clear that it was from God. It couldn't be that a human made it. So the idea or how we rectify the contradiction is that it's not a contradiction. It was made by man. But if you saw it, you wouldn't say that it was made by man. You would say that it was made by God. It was so perfect in its design and its beauty that you'd have to attribute it to Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay? So I think we answered most...
And also I want to...
Yeah.
No, I just wanted to add in also that you can ask, you know, why did God choose this specific vessel as a means to represent himself?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I can even just say that, you know, this vessel was the one that was lit with fire.
Okay.
And that was how God represents himself. So that it almost made sense for God to choose the menorah as a means to represent himself than any other vessel.
Okay. I mean, okay, you can say that. Well, I'm just going to hold off on that, but I hear that idea. But just one last idea. The last idea we didn't answer is that machlokas. What's the machlokas now, whether the neros were included in the... I think this ties in a little bit to what you were saying.
How could you say that it's not?
Yeah. Okay. So the idea seems to be that when the menorah is lit and there's fire coming from the menorah, did that add to the beauty or was that something secondary to the beauty? That seems to be the question. In other words, when you see a lit menorah, it adds to the beauty of the menorah. So according to one side, the neros themselves, the kli that held the shemen, had to be part of and had to be constructed with the rest of the menorah. Why? Because when the menorah is lit and it's lighting, it contributed to the beauty of the menorah. So that was really part of the cheftza of the menorah, the lights. So the lit menorah is one entity. So therefore, the neros have to be included in its construction. However, the other side holds that there's two ideas of the menorah. They're two separate concepts. One idea of the menorah is that as an object, it was an object of beauty. But the other idea of the menorah is that it provided a certain function in the mikdash, that it provided light. So the question is, are those two ideas this one idea is it that when the menorah was lit, that was really part of its beauty, that it added to the beauty of the menorah, and therefore it has to be constructed as one piece with the menorah, or is the lighting of the menorah a separate function of the menorah? The menorah itself, the cheftza, the object of the menorah, is the object of beauty, but its light and what it does is a different role. It's not part of its entity, or the entity of the menorah, the cheftza of the menorah. So I think that explains the basis for the machlokas. The basis for the machlokas is the role of the neros and the fire. Did the fire contribute to the beauty? And when a person saw the lit menorah, or when you think of the lit menorah, it adds to the beauty of it? Or is the lighting of the menorah a separate function of the menorah? And there's the cheftza, there's the object of the menorah, and there's the lighting of the menorah. All right. So those are all the concepts. I think we explained them all. Does anybody have any questions on... you want me to clarify anything in the shiur or answer one of the questions maybe again? Anybody? All right.
Great job.
Thank you. So just a review. The main idea, the main concept of the shiur is that the menorah really presented us or presents with a beauty that's unparalleled. It's a beauty that when you saw this kli, it was unmistakable that it was from God. It was designed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the idea of it being made on its own versus it being made by man is simply an idea that whoever saw it as if it was made by God himself. Meaning when you saw the menorah, you could not attribute this to man in any way. It's true that... I don't know. I don't know why the menorah. That's a good question. Maybe another time. But the idea is that the menorah itself was so beautiful, as the Ibn Ezra says, that a person could not fathom how it was created by man. So therefore, when a person saw the menorah, it was as if God had made it himself. It's true that it was constructed by man, but there was no attribution of that construction to Bezalel. Rather, it was completely attributed to Hashem, because it was so beautiful. And there's a perfection in its beauty. The idea of the perfection of its beauty is that everything had to be perfect. It had to be made perfectly. It had to be with a perfect amount of gold. Everything, the ornaments had to be a perfect amount. Everything symmetrical on the menorah. Everything had to be perfect. If you don't have that, if you don't have that perfection in its beauty, then you lose the concept of it being reflective of God's design. Once you don't have that, now any other menorah after that can't have all those things. Because then it's not God's design anymore. Then it's man-made design. So the idea, that's the idea of all or nothing. If it's all if it's Zav, it has to be everything. It has to be perfect in its beauty. If it's not Zav, then you can't have anything. It cannot be with Prachim, with Kaftorim and Gevim, because then it would just reflect on man's greatness, not on God's greatness. The greatness of the artist and the sculptor and not on Hashem. And finally... the sheer idea is that a sheer is usually secondary when it comes to beauty. There's beauty, when a person creates art, they don't really think about the sheer first. They think about how to evoke certain emotions through the art. And the sheer is really secondary, the size of it is really secondary. So too the menorah in the Torah, the sheer of the menorah is not mentioned outright. Why is it not mentioned outright? Because the nature of the menorah was that it was supposed to evoke emotions in terms of its beauty and therefore reflect on God's design. And the last idea is about the neros. So the question is, does the esh, the fire of the menorah, does it contribute to its beauty or is it separate apart from it as an entity? Do you say that the menorah there's the entity of the menorah, which is the beautiful aspect, and then there's the lighting it? Or does the actual lit menorah, it with its fire, is that the entity of the menorah in its highest form, in terms of being a beautiful object? So those are that's how we would define, or that's how we explain the machlokas.
Why did you reject Dina's idea on why the menorah?
It's too speculative, because the idea of Eish, I mean, I like to use Rishonim. If there was a Rishon that said something along those lines, then I would go with it. But you look at the Ibn Ezra is explaining what the drush is. So I'm just using the Ibn Ezra, and the idea of Eish fits in perfectly with what the Ibn Ezra is saying. Because the Ibn Ezra is saying that the concept is that anybody who looked at it would not confuse it with man-made art. So the idea, therefore, must be that the fire presented in the Medrash, which the Ibn Ezra doesn't take up, must be somehow showing Moshe how this menorah would reflect on Hashem. So that's why I'm using it. But in terms of the fire of the menorah, it could be that's the idea. I'm not rejecting it. I just would like to see other Rishonim on it.
It seems like a logical conclusion based on Ibn Ezra.
Well, there's a difference. I see that you're trying to defend your sister. There is the... Przanski's. There is a difference between Aish, fire, and Nair, and a candle. For example, like on Havdalah, there's an idea of an Aish, and by Shabbos, there's an idea of a Nair. They're two different concepts. So to just equate the two concepts, I don't know if that's the case. But like I said, I'm not rejecting that idea. It's just not the focus of... unless you have somebody, like one of the Rishonim, who mentions that idea, then... I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying it's a little bit more speculative. I'm trying to use the Ibn Ezra and just use the Rishon and then work with that, with what he's saying. So that's my only objection. But I like the approach. I mean, it's not a bad concept. It's a good concept. I feel like you need some type of backing from somebody.
It doesn't make it so speculative to me.
Okay, so it's good for you. You'll adopt it. Okay, good.
Were they prohibited from
making
a gold menorah that didn't have these specifications? Or just if they were to make a gold menorah, it should have these?
Yeah, you could not make a menorah. You mean, is there an Isser to make a menorah without it? Or could you not? There's no Isser to make a menorah without it, but you couldn't use it in the Mikdash.
Okay, good use.
Yeah, there's no... Rachel is asking, was there an Isser to make a gold menorah that wasn't to the specifications of the Torah? There's no Isser to make that. You're not allowed to make a replica of the menorah, but there's no Isser to make that if it's missing certain elements. However, you couldn't use it in the Mikdash. It would be pasul as a menorah of the Mikdash. Okay, anybody else? Questions? All right, so everybody have a good Shabbos and have a good night. And next week, 8:15, same time.
Thank you.